You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And welcome to it, The Rob Carson Show. Rob on a much-earned, much-deserved break. Mike Opelka is my name, sitting in for Mr. Carson today. Happy to be here, thrilled to be here. There is a mountain of news in front of us. A gigantic mountain of news since Rob left on Friday. All of the news has just piled up here, and I'm trying to prioritize it in order of importance and hilarity. Because you need both. We need to cover the important stuff, and we need to have fun with it, too. If you don't laugh, you will go crazy. Some of this stuff is pretty serious, though. We'll get to your opinions on Governor Kristi Noem and I think it's kind of career suicide, what happened to her this weekend. We'll cover that. We'll get to the polling data I teased in the first hour, because there is brand new polling data out that has James Carville nailing his right foot to the floor and running in circles in his home with his LSU hat on and his old sweatshirts. So much for dressing for the job you want, not the job you have. News out of D.C. and out of the Biden campaign. It looks like they're going the Bill Clinton route. No, not that route. Shame on you for thinking that, too. The Biden campaign has announced that Steven Spielberg, the award-winning multi-Oscar, how many other, I'm sure he's gotten awards from all over the world for his movies. What a talented filmmaker. But he's also a leftist. He's a Mercedes Maoist. And maybe he's a Maybach Maoist. That's what we should call him. But he's got all his, so he can advocate for people like Joe Biden. He's now going to be the guy producing the propaganda that Biden will put out. And the reason I said he's pulling a Bill Clinton here, remember when the Clintons tied in with the Bloodworth Thomasons? They were the people who produced the film The Man from Hope, Arkansas. They were the people behind, I guess it was it Murphy Brown and Designing Women? Yeah, the movie about the TV show comedy about the Sugar Baker, Suzanne Sugar Baker. That was a funny show. But when you get Hollywood money involved, when you get the power of Hollywood, you also have some pretty slick messaging. At least that's what the Democrats thought when they started the January 6th show trial. And they hired an ABC News executive producer to put together all of the visual elements. I still don't think that came off the way they wanted it to, the way Liz Cheney and her buddies wanted it to. And then today we got the news, by the way, BTW notice here. There still are 20,000 hours of security tapes that have not been released. I know Speaker Johnson has said that they'd get them all out there, and they are putting them out. But only half of them have been released so far. Only half. So how are trials allowed to be happening if evidence is still being withheld? Potential evidence. I'm sure of the 20,000 unreleased hours, there still are many hours that are just empty and not going to show anything. But if you're one of the people whose lives have been totally disrupted, whose family has been torn apart, whose fortunes have been wasted defending yourself, and maybe you've been locked up in one of the January 6th gulags for parading around inside the Capitol. I'm not defending any of the violent people. I'm not defending any of the people who hit law enforcement or vandalized government property. I'm talking about the many, and there are many, who've not been treated fairly. So I'm just wondering. But there are 20,000 hours yet to be released. And that means also there are 20,000 hours that will have to be combed through by someone in order to see if there's anything there that could exonerate somebody. So it's kind of amazing to me, as I said earlier, that trials are allowed to go on. But this is what happens when you're not in control. And that's kind of where we are right now. 190, what did I say? 197 days, 187 days away? Yeah, we're coming up on 6 months before the election. Get involved, be awake, be aware. Some of the things that we will also get to, I said, let's get to the polls. Let us get to the polls. And with the polls, we need our musical introduction to the polls, of course.
Polls! I need some numbers.
Polls!
Not just any numbers.
Polls!
You know I need some numbers.
Polls!
Yes, we need some numbers. In the polls that are panicking many in Washington, D.C. today, came from CNN. CNN, this is the one that I said they're sitting around going, oh, no, I'm not going to say these. You go out. I don't want that. You can have that for your show, Dana Bash. You can take that. No, Jake Tapper would like this. I don't want to scoop Tapper on this. Go ahead. Go ahead. CNN, exclusive new polling in the 2024 presidential election. And this also is beyond the margin of error. Because that's what everybody said. Well, still statistically, it's a tie. It's in the margin of error, you know. Just enjoy this. At least I thought we were going to enjoy it. Come back here. Here you go. Here's CNN talking polls.
Our new poll, which was conducted by SSRS, finds Trump is leading Biden, who has ample work to do with his base and with independent voters who are breaking to his GOP rival. In a head-to-head race, 49% of voters say they'd pick Trump for president, compared to 43% for Biden. That's a 9-point Trump advantage with independent voters.
Now, that's just the first statement. That, by the way, Manu Raju is the guy who lost the draw there, and he had to deliver this message. 49% to 43% among registered voters, and there's still 8% who are not sure, or they're other. What are you if you're other? Oh, I guess you're voting for Jill Stein or RFK Jr. By the way, Jill Stein and her campaign proved that they can get arrested. And they did at a college campus protest. More on that later. Back to Manu Raju delivering this horrible news.
And add in third-party candidates and Trump's lead jumps even more. He has 42% to Biden's 33%. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gets 16% of the vote.
So RFK Jr. comes in at a strong 16%, and they're doing everything they can do to shut him out, to shut him down, to keep him off TV. RFK Jr. has to resort to going on and debating Bill Maher about vaccines or going on Fox News. He's not going to be welcome on MSNBC or CNN, not after these numbers. Among registered voters with a real 5-candidate raised, Trump, Biden, Kennedy, Cornell West. I just can't believe 4% of the people would throw a vote away on Cornell West knowing that's never going to happen. Is Cornell West going to show up one day and walk across the reflecting pond and people will go, yes, we have to vote for him? No, it's not going to happen. So why would you? And Jill Stein, the same thing. You're throwing your vote away. I'm going to make a statement here. It might surprise or infuriate some people. But back in 2016, Donald Trump was not my first choice. But I voted for him because I wanted the Supreme Court. And I wanted somebody who wasn't going to raise my taxes. And most importantly, I didn't want Hillary Clinton. And I came to love Donald Trump and his policies. And I don't think I'm the only one. But I don't understand the votes for Jill Stein or Cornel West. I kind of understand Kennedy at this point because people believe if you've got 16 to 20% of the vote, this goes back to the old Ross Perot thing. You kind of believe it could happen. You know, it's like so there's still a chance, right? Yeah. Here's a little more from Manu Raju, the guy who had to deliver. These make me laugh when these segments happen.
Our poll also underscores the challenges of incumbency and that voters, 4 years later, have a better view of Trump's presidency compared to Biden's.
Now, this is interesting because this is Manu Raju looking at the data from CNN's own poll that talks about whose presidency was successful or was a failure. And we are, you know, a little more than three years into Joe Biden's president's first term as a president. God help us if there's a second one. And he is considered fairly, and by a large margin, to be a failure. Well, here are the numbers.
55% say Trump's time in office was a success, with only 39% saying the same about Biden's presidency.
This is amazing to me, and I am enjoying the Schadenfreude moment here. 55% of voters, and Donald Trump didn't get 55%. 55%, not in the first election, say that Donald Trump's presidency was a success. And, you know, the things I think about a success, I think, okay, America was secure. The border wasn't bleeding. We didn't have wars breaking out all around the world. You had economic success across every demographic, all that stuff. Putin wasn't invading other countries. Xi Jinping wasn't threatening to take Taiwan every other minute. And then there's Joe Biden. 39% say he's a success. 39%. 61% of likely voters in the CNN polling say that Joe Biden is an abject failure. Okay, I added abject for a little clarity there. Boy, that's got to scare the bejesus out of people today in the DNC. They have got to be just, there's got to be smoke signals coming out of the White House, although that would violate the carbon rules, and they would say, oh, you're ruining the environment, that's why it's so hot today in D.C., and there'd be all kinds of hell to pay. This is amazing stuff. And if you think that's bad, if you think those numbers are horrible, you need to look at the Gallup numbers. Remember, these were the CNN numbers. Gallup came out with a new survey at the end of the week last week that shows that Joe Biden's approval rating is the worst for any president since Dwight Eisenhower. 70 years, the worst job approval rating in the 13th quarter in office. So, you know, you're 3 years and a quarter in office. And they looked at where he stands. Out of every president, Eisenhower, Nixon, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump, and Biden. In order of appearance, Biden is last in that list, and he's last on that list. It is dismal, the numbers he has. Dismal. He's the only one in the 30s in average job approval rating. The only one. It's amazing. And there has to be a major panic. And I'm sure there is. You want to join the conversation on this one? 800-922-6680 is the number. We're going to talk about the college campuses just around the corner as well. And we'll give you a little update on the lawfare against Donald John Trump. We're going to get some great input from Gerard Felitti, senior counsel at the Lawfare Project. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. Mike Opelka in for Rob Carson on The Carson Show. And welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, Mike Opelka, my name, in for Rob Carson on the Rob Carson Show. You're always welcome to join us, 800-922-6680. I was just scanning the media during the break, and we're going to talk about the college campus protests that are breaking out in just a few minutes. But I just saw something amazing happening at the protest at UCLA. Somebody anonymously has built a giant screen television setup, probably a projection, with loudspeakers just outside of the UCLA protest. And they are showing footage from the terror attack on Israel of October 7th on a loop. It's probably the first time these bobos are actually seeing real reporting, real history of what happened. Just amazing. Well done. Well done to anybody who's doing this. And I still go back to my earlier statement. If you're looking for a tent, probably get a cheap tent. If you go to the protests as the cops are swooping in, because they have to put them somewhere, they're sweeping up these tents. And how are they replaced so quickly? A bazillion years ago, I covered the Occupy Wall Street encampment at Zuccotti Park in New York City. It's in Lower Manhattan. And it was a public-private park. It was one of those projects where government and private enterprise both owned that park. So that's why it was allowed to be set up. And the people knew it. The protesters knew it. They were well-funded as well. But they didn't have tents. It was sleeping bags. I guess you couldn't set up a tent on that property. You could do it on the quad at Columbia and on UCLA and the USC campus. By the way, the graduation day was ruined at USC when Tommy Trojan, the monument, was defaced by a protester with a can of spray paint. Just unbelievable. I hope these guys face some kind of actual legal issue going forward. I just wonder what the parents think, or the kids who've taken out the loans now. Kids, they're adults at this point, who've taken out the loans for $70,000+ a year, and then you don't even get the graduation because these babies have now stood up and are these, they're more useful idiots than babies, and are now protesting nonstop. One of the things that I'm surprised with, I heard some of the audio coming out of the Columbia encampment, which, you know, gets cleared out and then they suddenly reappear again, as I said, with more tents. The language they use. It's curious. Pay attention to the language. It tells you a lot about the message they're trying to get across.
But we will know because of that in advance of an imminent sweep. We are entering a period of high alert for the next 3 days. And that is why I urge all of you to talk to your friends as well and let them know that we may need people to turn up quickly, en masse, in front of the encampment to defend the encampment.
They're very excited.
Will you be ready to rally for your comrades?
Will you be ready to rally for your comrades? Yes, of course we will. We're going to throw away our future employment because we've destroyed an Ivy League university in a school year. Really interesting to me. Very interesting to me. It's also amazing to me how little they know. I did see one person who was confronted, a student, probably in her early 20s, was confronted outside of NYU. She had just walked down to lower Manhattan from the upper end of Manhattan, and they were at the NYU campus where they were chanting, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," and asked, "What river and what sea?" And she had no idea. But it rhymes, right? So that's good, right? I mean, we got the rhyme in. From the river to the sea means you're going to kill everyone in Israel. You're going to kill all the Jews. You're going to wipe them out. That's what that means. You guys don't understand genocide, and they're chanting genocide. They were outside of the White House Correspondents' Dinner as well, chanting F. Joe Biden Only they completed the whole word. They just didn't use the first initial. We'll get into caving at NYU to the pro-Palestine protesters and their demands, as well as a little bit more on the lawfare. Gerard Felitti joins us, senior counsel at the Lawfare Project. Next, Opelka in for Carson on the Rob Carson Show.
Slowing the spread of the stupid every day. It's the Rob Carson Show.
That's a big job. That is a really big job, trying to slow the spread of the stupid. There was a brilliant guy in American entertainment years ago named Steve Allen. He actually had one of the earlier late-night talk shows that was the smartest thing going, and it was funny, and Steve Allen was a brilliant writer as well. He has a book called Dumbeth, D-U-M-B-E-T-H, Dumbeth. If you can find it in the used book sites, you should buy a copy, because he called it, as my brothers used to say. I called it. I told you this was going to happen. Yeah, Dumbeth. And it's really hard. It's really hard to fix stupid. One of the people trying to help us fix stupid and stop stupid is human rights attorney, the guy who fights for civil rights, senior counsel at the Lawfare Project, and just all around good guy. You should follow him on the Twitter. Gerard Felitti is joining us. Hello, Gerard. First time meeting you. Welcome.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
I'm glad you're here. You know, you're a guy who I look at your Twitter X account and I see that beautiful skyline of Manhattan where I lived for 20 plus years. And I just think, what the heck has happened to New York City? We had the Republicans fixed it. And then we had Bloomberg, who didn't screw it up too badly. And then suddenly it's gone mad. And we have the woke mind virus and the madness on the college campus. Can we save New York? Can New York come back to greatness, sir?
New York can certainly come back to greatness, but it's not going to happen under the current regime in New York City, in New York State, and probably in the White House. We've lived through this before. It was before Rudy Giuliani. It was the Mayor Dinkins years. It was the Ed Koch years. And just like how we survived those years and went on to better, we can do that again.
I hope so. I hope you're right. And I was there during the era of the Crown Heights riots, the madness that elevated Al Sharpton to celebrity status. And I remember what it took to get it turned around. You're right. It took the Giuliani administration cracking down on stuff. Let's talk about the campus situation. Columbia obviously seems to be ground zero, but NYU is caving to the protesters. Tell me what's happening.
They both are. They started by negotiating with these really un-American anarchists who've taken over the campus space. They started with calls for genocide against Jews and discriminated against Jewish students. But now it's all Americans who are affected by the rhetoric that's coming out of there. These groups are supporting terrorist organizations, foreign terrorist organizations, and the campuses are negotiating with them. Instead of cracking down, arresting, removing them, enforcing their rules, they're just giving in, which is outrageous.
Yeah, I don't understand why the private space is allowed to keep the cops out of there. You know, they early on, Columbia was telling the media, well, this is a private campus, private property, so the police can only come into the university if we invite them. You're an attorney. If I'm in my house and I'm committing a crime and it's a private home, police are allowed to come in the interest of public safety, are they not?
Well, if someone's calling the police, yes. If a Columbia student is dialing 911 because they're being assaulted, then the police has the obligation to come in and help. So whether or not it's a private campus, I mean, that controls whether you're going to evict trespassers, but it doesn't affect the right of the police to come in and protect students from violence. That's a given. And what you hit on is also Columbia is a private campus. So is NYU. They have no obligation to allow these protests to happen at all. There's no free speech First Amendment right that allows these kids to do what they're doing. It's just that Columbia and NYU are allowing them.
Well, we're now seeing sort of a different action being taken by some of the campuses around the country. You're seeing, as you've mentioned, the negotiations in New York. But in other places in Texas, we saw the Texas troopers, state troopers, come in on Austin's campus, which, you know, that's pretty much a liberal bastion in the very red state of Texas. And they swept through and cleaned up that protest zone. But at Arizona State, we've seen a sweep through that used the help of the fraternities. But out in California now, we're seeing a sweep and then a warning that they're giving them written warnings. Is this something you would suggest for Columbia and NYU?
Columbia did give a warning to students that if they're not, if by 2 p.m. today they don't agree to vacate these so-called encampments and agree to abide by the rules, they'll be suspended. And, I'm betting that a lot of these students are scared about this. And if you can't tell the sarcasm, it's because nothing's been effective so far. They've had 7 or 8 months now to actually implement it, to suspend kids, to expel them for violating not just the rules, but the civil rights of other students, and they haven't done it yet. So all these bad actors, they have nothing to worry about. They have nothing to fear. Their diplomas aren't being withheld. They aren't being expelled. It's just another threat. We need more enforcement of the law like happened in Texas or Arizona. That's what it takes to protect civil rights of all Americans, not just warnings.
Yeah, I look at Texas and Arizona and to some extent Florida, where the governor has said, don't even try it. So people have it because they know he doesn't joke. UCLA has an anonymous display that's been set up outside the encampment that is showing the videos from October 7th, showing the terror attack and the horrific violence that was visited upon the Israeli people and the Jewish people in the region. And I'm wondering, it's anonymous. Any idea who put that up? Is that anything associated with the Lawfare Project, to your knowledge?
It's not associated with the Lawfare Project or the End You Hate It movement, but it's something that everyone, I think, endorses, because ultimately this is the side that people need to see. These kids aren't fighting for free speech on these college campuses. They're supporting the terrorist brutality that we saw on October 7th. And that's a very important distinction to make, that this is what these kids want. They want that in America. When they chant globalize the intifada, that means that they want that same level of October 7 violence on our city streets. Yet we're giving them a pass, and that's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. So how do we change the hearts and minds of these people? Is it through the police, or is it a combination of negotiation? Are you saying no negotiation, Gerard?
I'm saying no negotiation. You don't negotiate with terrorists. You can't do that as a matter of policy, because the moment you give in a little bit, you're giving them a victory and they're only taking more. And the rest of us are giving our rights. These kids' right to free speech, to protest, does not outweigh the rights of every other American to be safe, to be free from intimidation, harassment, bullying, or discrimination. It just doesn't work that way. So you have to be absolute about these things. You need to crack down when they're violating the law. That absolutely has to happen.
In your opinion, do you think that the parents of students who've now been denied a graduation have a class action lawsuit against the universities who've shut down graduations with really, it's not a public safety issue, in my opinion, or is that the argument the school might make?
You know what, there's an argument to be made on not on behalf of the parents, but the students themselves. The students are the ones who have this claim. They're the ones who need to come forward and work with groups like the Lawfare Project who will help them, because their right to enjoy college like everyone else has been violated. They have contract rights that were provided for. The school was supposed to do certain things, like provide for a safe and harassment-free campus. They failed. The school was supposed to safeguard their civil rights. The schools failed. That's why you need to come forward as a student and seek justice.
Yeah, I would hope that justice, which is probably what they're calling for, they're all saying justice for the Palestinians, but they don't want justice for the students that they are inconveniencing or actually preventing from getting the education that you said they have contracted for. If we need to reach out to the Lawfare Project, Gerard, where should we go, and what cases are you interested in hearing about?
Well, I'm particularly interested. We're always interested in hearing from students the way that they were impacted, the way that they were negatively affected, the way they were harmed by what's going on campus. So that's what we need to hear. It's not just the words. It's the conduct. It isn't just about speech. It's the behavior of these agitators that's at issue, and we need to hear how they're affecting students. And we've got lawsuits pending now against three schools, Columbia, Carnegie Mellon, and Cooper Union, for anti-Semitism, for discrimination, for civil rights violation, and we're looking into others. And they can find us online at thelawfareproject.org or on social media at The Lawfare Project.
At Lawfare Project on Twitter X, I was looking at it earlier to see what you were covering. I have to ask you, since you're already taking action or filing against Columbia University, there are both professors and students who are Jewish who have been denied entry to the Quad. Are you representing any of those folks?
We have not filed a lawsuit about that yet. Right now, I'm also working with an individual, an Israeli Arab, by the way, who was attacked outside of the gates of Columbia. Yosef Haddad was attacked outside the gates of Columbia when he was trying to get onto campus to deliver a lecture he'd been invited to. So it's not just Jews that they're attacking, it's everyone. But yeah, students, faculty who are being denied access to the Quad while these protesters are being allowed on there, that's discrimination. That's a civil rights issue, and we're happy to represent whoever's affected.
I wonder how many of the people on the campus in the tents are actual students and how many are just paid protesters. I doubt we'll ever get a fair accounting of that, but I would like to see somebody dive into that. The journalists aren't exactly interested. Gerard Felitti is with us, a human rights attorney fighting for civil rights on everybody's behalf. If your civil rights are denied, you really need someone to stand up for you, and smart lawyers and brave lawyers are the ones who do it. I encourage you to follow Gerard on Twitter X, and if you have need, reach out. They're looking for cases that can stop this kind of discrimination, and I love the hashtag #EndJewHatred. I will be using it today as well. Thank you, Gerard. Appreciate you being here, sir.
No, thank you. Appreciate what you're doing.
And there he goes. Wow, this is an interesting story. We now have, for many years, the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, was the group that we used to always hear, oh, we're going to stand up for American civil liberties. And it didn't seem like they were doing it for everybody. It only seemed like it was the extreme left. And now that many conservatives are being discriminated against in situations like we're seeing on college campuses, it is great to see people like the Lawfare Project stepping up and helping protect those people, because it takes a lot of power and a whole bunch of money to fight these people. And we know they're funded by folks like George Soros. We know the people funding these actions on college campuses have very deep pockets. Yes, I'm referring to those tents again. I'm getting tense over the tents. That's me. So many things we have to get to today just around the corner. I want to talk about the Kristi Noem story. I want to talk about it and get your opinion on it and see where you stand on the story. Does this story, the story of Kristi Noem from her book, saying that she is the one who shot and killed a puppy that wasn't behaving properly and couldn't be trained, is it disqualifying to you? Is it disqualifying as possibly a VP choice? We'll get into that. We'll read you her latest response as well, because it speaks volumes. Are you tired of the woke services like Netflix and Disney Plus and Hulu and more, all those streaming services that are so woke? Then you need Newsmax Plus. It is the fastest growing streaming service in America. With Newsmax Plus, you will get Newsmax, the channel Newsmax 2, our newest network. Watch great shows with Rob Schnitt, Greta Van Susteren, Greg Kelly, Eric Bolling, and more. You get real news, informed opinion, the most cutting-edge analysis from Dick Morrison, Kerry Lake, and Alan Dershowitz, Mike Huckabee, Victor Davis Hanson, and many more. And President Trump says Newsmax Plus is terrific. Bypass big media. Get the Newsmax Plus channels. Great documentaries, like the one with actor John Voight, and many, many more. We even cover live all the big events, the big Trump rallies. We never censor Donald Trump like the big networks do. So start your free trial today. Yes, it costs nothing to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register. Then you download the app and you start watching. Millions are watching Newsmax. Be another one of them. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com today. Mike Opelka in for Rob Carson on The Rob Carson Show. It's 53 minutes after the hour. I love me some Dave Grohl and some Foo Fighters. I have no idea Dave Grohl's politics. I don't want to know them. I just want to know his music. I met him at the Amtrak station in New York one time, and he was the nicest guy in the world, was traveling with his mother. It just seems weird, but that was cool. Made me think that that's a guy I could have a beer with and enjoy his music. But I really don't know his politics. It's Mike Opelka in for Rob Carson on The Carson Show. I want to start the conversation about the Kristi Noem discussion. Over the weekend, a story came out from her book. She's got a book coming out. Everybody who's running for president or vice president has a book coming out. Her book entitled No Going Back, an autobiography. And she talks about working on a ranch. And she told a story about a dog, a puppy, that was not behaving well and apparently was aggressive, according to her. And that puppy had to be taken out. And she told the story that dog was shot in the head, put in a gravel pit, as well as a goat that was also rambunctious. Now, I know goats are a good source of milk. If you get Nubian goats, you can milk them twice a day, and they make great goat yogurt, great goat ice cream, and stuff like that. It's really healthy for you. The sad story about the puppy really bothered me. I'm a dog lover, dog owner for decades, and my heart was broken because not every dog is perfect for every home, and there are plenty of places that will rehome dogs. We had a dog that didn't work for us, but it worked for friends of ours, and that dog is just so happy now. We were part of something called the Underhound Railroad, my wife and I, and we would take caravans of dogs out of kill shelters and bring them from the south to the north and place them in homes that wanted dogs. So this story bothers me, and it's I think it's worse than the Mitt Romney story about putting the dog in the cage on the roof of the car. But what's absent here in all of this, and you can have your opinion on Kristi Noem. I thought she's been a great governor. I don't know if this will allow her ever to be a bigger figure on a national stage. I doubt it, because there's a lot of dog lovers out there. But here's where the mainstream media is showing its backside, if you will. There's virtually no coverage of the violent dog that was in the White House with the Bidens. The one that attacked and bit many members of the Secret Service and suddenly disappeared. It's a double standard, isn't it? It's a blatant double standard. Somebody's got to ask the question, what happened to the violent dog that was biting Secret Service agents at the White House? Then we'll talk to Kristi Noem as well. It's Mike Opelka for Rob Carson on The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
And welcome to Monday on the Rob Carson Show. Mike Opelka, that's me, sitting in for Rob Carson today. Thanks for being here. A big day this Monday. Just watching the live feeds from the campus protests. I watched the one in Columbia University in New York City as 2 o'clock was the deadline, and I didn't see any tents folding up. I didn't see any mass exodus from the quad, where graduation will likely not be held. But there are protests now breaking out in California, Minnesota, Texas, New York. Philly's got a little bit of a protest happening too. And I can't help but wonder, is this a dress rehearsal for the conventions this summer, specifically Chicago? I think the Democrats have to be concerned about Chicago and what could happen at the DNC. Because they can't really be pushing back against protesters. Those are their voters. It's going to be very interesting to watch. But it sure feels like this is either a recruiting campaign where the folks who are getting ready to set up camp in Chicago, maybe in Milwaukee where the RNC is happening, but Chicago, definitely. And Chicago already has a history. 1968, you can go back and watch any of the newsreel footage from 1968 when the DNC was absolutely stormed as the protesters had set up camp. Anti-war protesters, Vietnam War protesters, upset that 50-plus thousand American men, because we weren't drafting women then, there weren't women in the military then, 50,000 plus American men were dying in the jungles of Vietnam. And so Grant Park, where the Bean is, you can see the Bean there in Chicago, my old hometown. I was born and raised in Chicago. And that madness that we saw is probably in the minds of many of the people who are thinking, well, we need to set up the same kind of encampment ahead of the DNC. And I guarantee you there are recruiters who are in the crowds at Columbia and NYU and University of Texas and USC and UCLA and Cal Poly, which just canceled the classes in person for the rest of the year. I just watched also a video from, I think it's from Valparaiso, Indiana, from Indiana University. Yeah, right there in Indiana. How about that? So it's going on there. It's in Georgia. And Biden is scheduled to go speak at Emory this week, a campaign appearance. I don't know if that's the wisest thing for them to do. Maybe they should just send Kamala. Maybe that would be the better thing to do, to send Kamala down there. I don't know if it's really smart. But I'm not going to accuse this administration of being smart. We shall see. Kamala Harris, by the way, was on with Drew Barrymore. I remember Drew Barrymore when she was just a cute little girl as an actress. And, you know, then she had a host of issues growing up. She grew up in front of everybody. When you're a child performer and a massively successful one from a family with a heritage name in Hollywood, the Barrymore name had currency in Hollywood, you grow up in front of the whole world. It's got to have a whole lot of pressures. But now she's a talk show host. She has a daytime talk show. It seems like everybody's got one. Apparently more daytime talk shows than there are podcasts. I exaggerate to clarify. But she had Kamala Harris on her show. And they talked about really important issues. the one issue that is so vital, so important. You would think I'm talking about abortion. I'm not. But they're talking about the thing that most of the world knows about Kamala Harris, especially the Australian news anchor who dedicates a weekly show to the Biden administration and its ridiculousness.
The cackling nincompoop who is a heartbeat away from the presidency, the comprehensively incapable Kamala Harris.
Yes, that's how the anchor on the Australian major news network introduces Kamala. And then there is the segment on the Drew Barrymore show.
You were asking me earlier about what it means to be, like, the first woman. And, you know, it's funny because people still got to get used to this, right? I mean, my staff, for example, sometimes they'll show me little things that just amuse me. Like, apparently, some people love to talk about the way I laugh.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I love your laugh.
Well, let me just tell you something. I have my mother's laugh. Oh. And I grew up around a bunch of women in particular who laughed from the belly. Yeah. They laughed. They would sit around the kitchen and drinking their coffee, telling big stories with big laughs. I'm never going to be. That's just, I'm not that person. And I think it's really important for us to remind each other and our younger ones, don't be confined to other people's perception about what this looks like and how you should act in order to be, right? It's really important. It's important.
I love your laugh, and I love...
So Drew Barrymore loves her laugh. She also likes being so close to Kamala. She could probably see what Kamala had for breakfast if she looked in her teeth. I'm just saying, this is one of the creepiest shows I've ever seen. I've tried to watch it, make sense of it. It's a little scary. Just remember, a vote for Joe Biden is a vote for President Kamala. I see the phones are starting to bubble. 800-922-6680. Randall is in Pacific Grove, California. Randall, welcome to the program.
All right, now you used to be able to answer this because I have a couple comments, but my question to you is, when it comes to San Jose State, San Francisco, Berkeley, Stanford's, Santa Clara University, none of these are in the news of any protests going on. Now, did they get ahead of the game and prevent any protests from being possible? Why is the Bay Area, like, not at all, nothing?
So you're saying you're astounded by the lack of numbers of protest and that there are only a handful happening at, say, UCLA and USC and Cal Poly?
No, not at all, no. From San Luis Obispo south, there's still protests, like Cal Poly and UCLA. None in Northern California.
Well, I think we know why, don't we? We know that there are a lot more... conservative minds in Northern California, as has been my experience.
So you think that the law enforcement got ahead of the game and they're going to keep order? Thank you.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. What I said was, I think there are probably students who realize the folly of the protest in the northern part of the state. Law enforcement and the... The universities may have gotten ahead of it, but not necessarily the law enforcement.
Yeah, they may be lefties, but they're not so stupid as these other people. Okay, so my second comment is, you mentioned about the protest at the DMC over the draft. I am still furious about the inhumanity of the way the draft is conducted. And I wanted to mention, we should never support the Ukraine at all. None of us should, because they have the most inhumane draft policies and the world's history since the Ming Dynasty. I mean, if you look into their draft policy, it's barbaric. I don't even know why the Ukrainians don't try to come over here in droves to get away from that place.
Well, some of them are. There are a bunch of them who would like to be here.
We ought to give them sanctuary. We ought to get a Republican president that'll grant Ukrainian draft dodgers sanctuary and just shut all the funding down for that guy, whatever his name is. That guy is a total thug, and I do believe he's a Nazi. I really do. My policy is accepted, but I don't have it in for Putin. I don't see Putin as the evil Dolph Lundgren that everyone's making him out to be.
Well, we're going to disagree on that, and I got to rock and roll here. I'm up against the clock.
Right.
But thank you, Randall. I appreciate you being there. Very interesting. Not a Dolph Lundgren in Vladimir Putin. Putin, I believe, is a devil. That's me. He is a killer. I agree with, you know, we don't need to provoke him, but we do need to isolate and bankrupt him. And I follow the wisdom of KT McFarland, who talks about bankrupting these people by doing the Reagan philosophy. Just have an arms race with them. We'll beat them. Ronnie is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ronnie, first of all, before we get to your topic, how did you deal with the storms? Are you guys safe?
Oh, yeah, we're safe. We had some tornado sirens going off and some hail hit us and some rain, but we're fine. We're about 35 miles southeast of Tulsa.
Okay.
So we're in the central part of Oklahoma.
That's great. I'm a big fan of Oklahoma City's the home of the Softball Hall of Fame. It's one of my favorite places in the whole wide world. A big softball fan. I love the folks from Oklahoma. What's on your mind?
Well, you talk about Kristi Noem and your disappointment with her.
Well, I understand. Look, I spent a great deal of my youth in my 20s in Texas on ranches. And you understand life when you spend time on a ranch. And you understand being thankful for the food provided by the animals who have to give up their lives to feed everybody. And what I said was, we only know part of the story because we only know what she's been allowed to tell. But this is a self-inflicted wound. She didn't need to tell this story, is what I said.
She probably didn't need to tell it, but being a farmer, being a rancher, and growing up on that, we had dogs that misbehaved. And if we couldn't find a home for it, which we normally couldn't because everybody had dogs, the last resort would be putting them out of their misery before they caused you any more misery, like killing a calf or chasing a chicken or doing other things that they shouldn't do. But they are valuable. They're valuable pets and valuable assets to the farm if they behave right. And it's sad when you have to put one to sleep because there's nothing else you can do about it, because that's just the way things are with you. If you have a farm and your livestock is your fortune, and you got to have dogs that respond and likewise.
I understand it, and I made some similar points, and my major point was, where is the mainstream media asking about the Biden dogs that attacked Secret Service and what happened to them? If you're going to get all upset about Kristi Noem and this one, you better get the full story on the White House dog. Ronnie, I got to rock and roll. I'm getting up against the clock here, but thank you. I'm going to grab one more quick call here. Kevin in Baltimore. Kevin, you have a thought on Kamala Harris?
Yeah, I think they might have missed something when she said she referred to herself as the first woman. What the hell was she saying? I mean, the brilliant Dr. Jill is the first lady. Okay, and Kamala's husband will be the second husband, or I guess, but she's not the first woman.
I think she swallowed first woman VP. I think she meant the first woman in her role, and I'm going to cut her slack on that. But I'll go back and listen to it during the break. That's a good. I love the fact that you're listening that closely, Kevin. Well done, sir. Say hello to Baltimore for me.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. If you listen closely, you can hear a thousand nutty things.
Yeah, you're true. You're so true there. We have to pay attention to everything. I have to take a break. I have to pay attention to the clock. It's Michael Pelka in for Rob Carson on The Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's The Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. Mike Opelka is my name, sitting in for Rob today. Thanks for being here. I mentioned earlier that Steven Spielberg is being brought in to produce propaganda for the Biden campaign, which means it's going to be really slick and heart-tugging and all that stuff. But I'm also here to tell you that there are parts of Hollywood waking up. There are parts of Hollywood, parts of the entertainment world that have suddenly awakened and said, wait a minute, what are these idiots doing in my country? Drea DiMatteo of Sopranos fame. I think, was she Maddow? I don't know. That I was not a Sopranos fan, okay? I lived and worked in New Jersey and New York City, and I felt like I worked around them. I didn't need to go home and watch it on TV. I know what an important show it was, but I worked with all those people. But Drea DiMatteo was sitting in on a podcast on Rumble with Don Jr., Donald Trump Jr., and she was sporting a red cap, looked like a, you know, typical MAGA cap, had the same font, and it didn't say Make America Great Again. It said, close the border, you moron. And she said, look, I can't vote for Biden. I can't vote for this guy. And she said she's a liberal, but she can't vote for him because she knows what she's going to vote for Trump. And this is somebody who is famously liberal. Also, in the world of waking up, and we're kind of happy to see it, Sherry Curry. Remember Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and her band? Sherry Curry, part of that, I guess they were called the Runaways back in the day. Sherry Curry posted on Twitter X, it used to be punk, rock and roll to vote Democrat. I fell for it. But when your party demands you live in fear, squalor, and beyond your means by just buying groceries, gasoline, disrespecting our veterans, our police, our elderly, supporting criminals, chaos, riots, Hamas, failing Israel, demeaning us at every turn, hurting our children. Gosh, she's really got a list here. I'm falling in love. Wasting our money, ineptitude with every policy, lies and more lies, no more. She goes on to say, and I'm quoting her, the Democrat Party can kiss my... They don't give a damn. That's true. Voting Dem used to be cool, but now it just makes you a fool. Brava. Brava. This is kind of cool. Who would have thought that it's now the punk thing to be a conservative? It's now a punk thing to support America. It's now punk to want your border protected. Very interesting. Very interesting to see. So much to get to. Over the last few days of last week, our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, was in China. Did you hear anything about it? No, you really didn't. No, because the media wanted you to look over here, because there's a white squirrel running across the lawn over here. Our Secretary of State was in China meeting with Xi Jinping, and we were not treated properly. We were treated, we were insulted, basically. And the only person who can understand it and fully break it down for us is my buddy Gordon Chang, Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. And we're going to grill him like a cheese sandwich about that and see what happened there. We have to find out what the heck is going on because, look, China holds a lot of our debt. China is messing with us at every turn. China and TikTok. Don't get me started on TikTok. By the way, the Biden campaign, still on TikTok. The Biden campaign has over, I think it's over 140 posts on TikTok while banning TikTok in every government computer. So Joe Biden signed the bill that would effectively eliminate TikTok. But after the election, of course, that can't happen before the election because Joe wants to use TikTok. And we'll play you some video about somebody who worked at TikTok and was pushing the Biden propaganda. And they were told not to say anything about it. But they did. People are waking up. They're not woke. But we'll get Gordon Chang's breakdown on how America was insulted yet again by China. Our Secretary of State just embarrassed. It's Mike Opelka in for Carson on the Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account.
It is 35 minutes after the hour. This is the Rob Carson Show. Mike Opelka, that's me, guest host, sitting in for Rob. And there are so many things to get to, but the correction department light is blinking. I talked about Drea DiMatteo and how she is now saying she can't vote for Biden. She's got a red hat that says close the border, you moron. And I didn't watch The Sopranos. I told you, I lived and worked in New York City and New Jersey. I worked with all those guys. Not those guys, but those guys. You know, Goomba Johnny, Frankie Blue Eyes, all of them. I didn't feel like I needed to watch it on TV. I didn't know she was Adriana. Sorry, I got it wrong. Gosh, you get The Sopranos people angry, you're in trouble. So mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. I have a big issue to talk about, though. And we have a great brain to help us understand it. The last few days, our Secretary of State spent time in China. And we're hearing all kinds of things about Joe Biden's going to slap some tariffs on China, et cetera, et cetera. And we got issues with China wanting to take Taiwan. And this visit, this huge visit by our Secretary of State, it got virtually no attention over the weekend. Of course, it was the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Biden's interview with Stern that the New York Times is ticked about. You know, why would you go talk to real journalists, even though it's still the New York Times? They're going to at least ask some tough questions. But I want to know why this story didn't get much attention. So we reached out to our friend Gordon Chang, Gordon G. Chang, on Twitter X. And Gordon, thank you for being here. I have to have the answer, Gordon. I got to know, why didn't the story get much attention?
That's a great question. And the answer is, you know, there's so many other things going on in the world right now. It's falling apart. So I can understand why important stories don't get the coverage that they deserve. This is a story that has long-term implications, and it will have consequences, which are really awful for us. But they're not exhibiting themselves right now. So I guess that's the reason why we're not hearing more about Blinken's really awful visit to Beijing and Shanghai.
Well, when you say really awful, you know, did we miss any deliverables? Didn't he meet with Xi Jinping?
Well, he did, and Xi Jinping went out of his way. From the moment that Blinken touched down in Shanghai to the moment he left in Beijing, Xi Jinping went out of his way to humiliate him. And maybe there's just so many examples of this, but one of them was that when Xi actually met Blinken on Friday, Xi Jinping had himself photographed. He knew what he was doing. And he says dismissively, "When will he leave?" referring to Blinken. You know, and then when Blinken shows up, you know, Xi Jinping is not very welcoming. And so really what he was showing to the Chinese people and to the world that he does not respect either Blinken or the United States. And we saw this when the arrival, where there was no red carpet, a very junior official met Blinken. We saw this when Blinken left China on Friday, when no Chinese official, this is a really breach of diplomatic protocol, no Chinese official saw him off. So really, this is Blinken just accepting one humiliation after another.
Is it possible, Gordon Chang, that the Chinese government gave us short shrift on this visit, maybe because of what's on the line for TikTok and the fact that Joe Biden signed the bill that would force the sale of TikTok?
Well, I'm sure they weren't happy with that, but that's not the reason for Xi Jinping to do this. I mean, Xi Jinping wasn't happy with Trump, but, you know, we never saw this happen to American diplomats in China. So, for instance, I know this is sort of nerdy, but it gives a sense of where we are. When Secretary of State Pompeo went to see Xi Jinping, they were sitting side by side in chairs showing equality. When Blinken has seen Xi Jinping, as he did on Friday and as he did 10 months ago in June, Blinken is seated at this table on the side along with a lot of officials. Xi Jinping is alone at the head of the table. This is sort of like a table in a U shape. And it showed that Xi Jinping was paramount. Now, you know, we're Americans. We don't care very much about protocol. But what the Chinese were doing was saying to the world that Blinken is a vassal to the grand celestial Chinese court. And you better get used to it because the U.S. is done. And so while we don't pay attention to that, this has consequences because other people around the world understand what the Chinese are doing. They can see the Chinese arrogance. They believe that the Chinese are in charge. And that means they're falling in line with China's foreign policy and they're deserting us.
Gordon, is it possible that they don't like Blinken? Because doesn't Janet Yellen get reasonable treatment when she visits China?
She gets reasonable treatment because she bows to officials who are junior to her in the pecking order. And also, you know, they fed her psychedelic mushrooms, probably intentionally. So this is not a good story either. The problem is we keep on sending senior officials to China, one right after the other. That feeds the already inflated sense of self-importance of China, making them even more arrogant to deal with. You know, we're Americans. We'd like to think that we're generous to them. They'll be generous to us. That's not the case. We show signs of friendship. The Chinese perceive that as our believing that we are weak and therefore we're friendly. So really what it does is it makes China even more belligerent. And this has had consequences because we've seen China actually act more provocatively and belligerently and aggressively.
So the more we try to make nice with China, they view that as weakness, and they just step up their aggression. We have not gone after them. I think you talked about this earlier today on Twitter X, that this vicious competition thing that we're avoiding with China, we really should be a lot tougher, especially as it relates to the tens of thousands of Americans killed by the fentanyl they brought here.
Yeah, Xi Jinping, when he met with Blinken, said that the U.S. should not engage in quote-unquote vicious competition. My point was just a very simple one. China is killing somewhere between 75 to 80,000 Americans a year with doses of fentanyl. This is Communist Party policy. That's vicious competition. I mean, we should never have gone to Beijing in the first place because the Chinese are doing this. But Blinken had an obligation while he was sitting there to just say, look, Mr. Secretary, you're killing Americans by the tens of thousands. How is that not vicious competition? How can we not defend ourselves? But Blinken won't do that. And so the Chinese know that. So they continue to pee over him every time he goes.
It's so irritating. The answer, Gordon, is not staring us in the face, is it, unless we're talking about a leadership change in this country?
Absolutely. Say what you will about Trump's policies during his 4 years. There's a lot of them that I didn't like. But the point is, we had 4 years of peace. We had 4 years where the Russians did not invade Ukraine. We had 4 years where the Chinese restrained themselves. They're not restraining themselves right now. Russia's invading everybody in sight. And really what we've got right now is a world falling apart. So say what you will, Trump policies worked. Biden policies, which sound good to the ear, are absolutely creating one debacle after another. And the American people have to understand that if they want Biden for another 4 years, they got to prepare for global war, because that's exactly what's coming.
And China is talking about global war militarily as well as economically. Which one is more likely to break out first?
I wish I knew the answer to that, but China right now is fighting three sets of proxy wars. That's Ukraine, that's North Africa, and Israel in the Middle East. And it could very well go after the Philippines, which I think is the most likely target. I think it could certainly be Taiwan, Japan, India. It could be the United States with their dangerous intercepts of our planes and ships in the global commons. It can be anything, Mike. But if I had to say where it would be, you should look at Second Thomas Shoal of the Philippines, because there the Chinese have made it, have engaged in basically acts of war against the Philippines, and they have been ignoring every statement from our State Department, every statement from President Biden, that the United States is prepared to use force to discharge our obligations pursuant to the U.S.-Philippine Mutual Defense Treaty. In other words, we're not deterring the Chinese. When deterrence fails, wars occur.
I'm looking at how China's going to pay for all of this, you know, because that was the way we brought down the Soviet Union, was make them bankrupt themselves by trying to keep up with us in an arms race. China seems to have a bigger economic engine than the old Soviet Union did. Fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment, but China's economic system right now is exhausted. It's exhaustive because they're having their 2008 right now. In 2008, they decided not to have a downturn along with the rest of the world. So what they did was they embarked on the biggest stimulus program in history. And so they avoided any sort of suffering in 2008. But now they've got to pay back debt, and they have no way to do it. Now they're spending well beyond their means with their military, with their Belt and Road program, with their foreign aid, with their internal surveillance mechanisms. They can't afford what they're doing, which makes them really dangerous, because I think Xi Jinping realizes he has only a few more years where he can actually do what he wants, which means that there's a closing window of opportunity in the Chinese capital right now.
Gordon Chang, are the recent announcement of tariffs from the Biden administration going to do anything to slow down China?
Well, I think so. Biden has said that he wants to triple tariffs on steel and aluminum from about 7.5% to 25%. You know, a lot of people say, well, this is election talk, which it certainly is, because Biden's been president for 3 years and he hasn't done anything. I think he actually will go forward with this because although he has won the support of labor leadership, he doesn't have the rank and file. The rank and file of labor are going for Trump by big margins. And I think that Biden wants to reverse that. He wants to get some of those labor rank and file votes. So he's going to have to impose tariffs. But we got to remember that there's only one president who actually did impose those tariffs. That was Trump in 2018, imposing tariffs under Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974. Biden can do that anytime he wants. He hadn't done it for 3 years, which means his heart's not in it, which means this is an election ploy, which means after the election he'll probably take the tariffs off. His heart is not in it.
I think his heart is not in a lot of the things he's supposed to be doing, but that's my opinion. Gordon Chang is always a wealth of information and great thinking. I encourage you to follow him on Twitter, X, at Gordon G. Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, thank you again, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, and stay safe, because
thank
these
you,
are perilous times.
Yes, they are. Quite perilous times. There he goes. I appreciate him giving us his wise counsel. And speaking of wise counsel, I never thought I'd say this, but I think John Fetterman has awakened and is got some wisdom in his brain. And we have to talk about dealing with the woke people, don't we? Yes, we do. We haven't gotten to this yet, but we will.
Woke people got no reason. Woke people got no reason. Woke people got no reason to live.
No, they don't. don't, but we'll give you the woke story. What Fetterman said about the campus protesters, what Jerry Seinfeld said about comedy being ruined by the wokesters, just around the corner. It's Michael Pelka in for Rob Carson on The Rob Carson Show. It is 52 minutes after the hour. Almost time for me to get out of here. I'm just having too much fun. Mike Opelka, my name, in for Rob Carson on The Rob Carson Show. And I mentioned that we had to get to the woke stuff, and that means we have to play the little woke news song and make fun of the woke people.
Woke people got no reason. Woke.
That's right. They don't have a big reason. And they're on college campuses. And we also thought that they were inside the Senate when John Fetterman got elected. And it seems like after his stroke, he's kind of waking up. He was sitting outside of the Senate building today, and a bunch of his constituents came up and wanted to talk to him because he supports Israel unapologetically.
With Israel, you know that, I know it, so go talk to somebody else. Go talk to somebody
else.
You're
my representative.
Yeah.
And I...
No, you're not. You don't represent my view, and that's
right.
Okay. We can disagree on
right.
this. I'm with Israel, and I don't know why you
I'm not against Israel.
You know,
I'm totally
and again,
not.
Again, but
I'm
you,
really
you,
not.
You harass my staff, and that's crazy.
So he told these protesters they need to go. They kept trying to sit down next to him and talk to him, and he's not having it. He's not having it. He also was asked about the campus protesters and was asked if Biden's handling of the campus protesters was correct. I thought this was fascinating.
Well, I'm not going to give the president any advice or anyone, only on fashion. And you know, but
he's sitting there in a hoodie and shorts, and he's got a sense of humor. I don't know all of his policies, but I'm starting to see him coming over to our side.
But I will say this, is that it's very clear that there is a very germ of anti-Semitism in all of these protests, you know, and then sometimes it flares up. And again, including one of the leaders in Colombia said some just awful things and talking about, well, they're lucky that I'm not killing Zionists and things like that. And then he defended himself by saying, well, those were taken out of context. And I'm like, well, that's very similar to the way the college presidents, that same kind of language and those kind of monocultures that create situations and that replicates. And now it's not a surprise that when you kind of seeing this manifest itself in a campus like this. Now, of course, it's a great American value to protest, but I don't believe living in a pup tent for Hamas is really helpful.
I don't believe living in a pup tent for Hamas is very helpful. I think this guy has some potential. I think his recovery is getting better and better each and every day. And he's not really using that device. He seems to be speaking rather extemporaneously. He did at the White House Correspondents' Dinner with Jimmy Fallon when he went after Bob Menendez. Gold Bar Bob, he went after him. I thought, wow, that's Democrat on Democrat violence right there. He didn't go after him physically. I'll explain. And Jerry Seinfeld had some words about sitcoms. Happy to hear this. We'll share it with you just around the corner. It's Mike Opelka in for Rob Carson on The Rob Carson Show. I can't believe it. I have to get out of here. It's Mike Opelka in for Rob Carson. Had a great time being here. You guys made it all so easy, so simple. And I'm hopeful. I really am hopeful. When guys like Fetterman standing up for Israel and mocking the insanity on the college campuses, but I'm also hopeful when somebody like Jerry Seinfeld, who doesn't need to speak out, does speak out.
Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of your comedy.
Yeah, that's the end of comedy. And that's the end of the Rob Carson Show today. It's Mike Opelka. Thanks for having me in your ears. Thank you, Brian. Testudo, my friends. Testudo.
WCBM Baltimore.